I'd like to share from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. I'm going to read verses 16 through 20, and you can remain seated because these guys stood up for the whole thing, so I'm going to let them sit. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, beginning at verse 16, I'm going to read through 20, continuing in Jesus' name. Then the 11 disciples went into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came, and he spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded of you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word this day and every day henceforth. Amen. So what just took place here? We had some young adults come forward, and they came and they confirmed their faith in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And as we even heard in the opening prayer, oftentimes we have a tendency to see individuals that take this as a graduation kind of ceremony, where now they've gone through the Sunday school, they've gone through the 10th year of Sunday school, and so now they're pretty much done. They can move forward in life. I'm happy to say that I've seen some confirmands that I've dealt with last year that are very much established in this congregation, that continue to come here and continue to partake in fellowship. And I have a tendency even to deal with people. I'm not one of these individuals that says, well, man, come to church every single Sunday and never miss a Sunday. I ask that you would come as often as you can and that you would participate as much as you can, that you wouldn't forget us. Because God has given me this understanding where it is not about me controlling the masses. It is His Word having an impact with the people and giving them the desire to come and to fellowship. And so that's what I seek for more than anything. But the fact of it is, sometimes that's not good enough for us. When we turn around and we see what takes place here, I'm proud of these young individuals. I'm proud of these young individuals because they have made a testimony of their faith that oftentimes I wonder if we would do as adults. Because sometimes I find it hard to even find the adults able to come here and to confess. And I'm just as guilty. But to understand and to know what we are doing, what we are practicing, yes, I've heard a lot of talk about this lately, especially amongst the pastors. Well, this isn't biblical. Well, it's not unbiblical either to confess your faith. That this is a strong testimony for those around. These individuals have come here and they've made known of their faith. And I pray that God will continue to use them to continue on carrying out this faith in this world. I see a lot of parents here that have brought these children here, and I praise God for each and every one of you. But does your testimony also carry on? That the children wouldn't say, well, they're making me do this, but yet they don't. What is our testimony? What is my testimony as a pastor when I enter into this world? Is my testimony more concerned about what I think or what the Scripture says? This is a great day for us to consider these things. To consider exactly what is going on here. Is this just a ritual? Is this just something that we do? Or do we really and truly believe in the doctrine of Jesus Christ and the effectual power of His forgiveness in this world? Do we actually believe that His victory over hell, death, and the devil is a daily account for us? That we can move forward in the forgiveness of our sin and enter into a world that needs to hear this proclamation and boldly bring it out? Our text here picks up in a very interesting place. The 11 disciples now, they went to Galilee into a mountaintop where they were appointed to go by Jesus previously. And it's interesting because you can wonder what's going on in their mind. They were still having the struggle of, was he resurrected? What took place? Where is that body that was in the tomb? What's going on? But yet now, they go to the appointed place, and they are obedient even to what Jesus had spoke previously to them. And they turn around, and it says what? That they saw him. They saw him. We have a tendency at times to miss these smaller things, but I don't think this is small at all. Today is the day of the Trinity, where we celebrate and we come to this understanding of God three in one. And oftentimes it's difficult for us, isn't it? It's difficult for us to comprehend that and to digest that. But yet we believe this by faith. And we turn around and we look at this text, and what does it say? When they saw him, what did they do? They worshiped him. They ascribed worth to him. They fall before him and they ascribe worth to him. This is very much of the Trinity. Because we understand and know in different parts of the scripture, when other human beings were encountered and this took place, they corrected the individual and said, "Get up." When it was elders, even in the Revelation to John, he says, "Get up, because I am a servant as you. Do not worship me. Do not ascribe me this position, because I am not God. I am not the author and the finisher." But Jesus Christ, what does he do? He receives this worship. He receives it because he is truly God. And we have to come to this understanding even in our own lives, because oftentimes we have a tendency to take and make these separations in our life. We like to at times turn around and we see, you know, God the Father in heaven, and we see him as kind of the big old mean daddy. And then we have a tendency to believe Jesus is a little softer son and he's kind of nice to us, and maybe if we plead to him, he can go get mercy for us. And we can even carry it differently in different denominations, where we'll turn around and we'll say, you know, Mother Mary, if we talk to her because she's a mom, she'll understand and talk to her son, who then will go talk to his father. And this is all garbage. Because God himself came to this earth, and he came and dwelt amongst his people, and he took the burden of the sin of the people, and he took it upon himself on that cross of Calvary. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we can't get any closer. Because he comes in the Holy Spirit and he abides within. By faith we are partakers and receivers, and Jesus has cleansed this temple, if we could say it in that way, or this vessel, and he's made us worthy to receive. And so when we come down to the aspect of what's going on here, it says very plainly that they worshiped him because he was worthy. And I love how honest this book is, because it says that some doubted. Some were having a hard time with this. They didn't quite understand it. And you know what? We're going to have times of doubt in our life. We're going to have struggles. We're going to have times where we find that things just are not clicking just so. And we're wondering, is God even there? But yes, he is. He carries us and he sustains us in and through those difficult situations. But yet now, if we would keep our eyes upon him, we would be able to endure those trials. And that's what I would speak to you as young adults coming in the congregation. That you would keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and allow him to be your guide. He gives you his word. He gives you his spirit. And he gives you in reality himself fully. And he says, "Rely on me." Brothers and sisters in Christ, do we do that? Are we showing these young adults that this is what we are to do? Are we showing these young adults that this is the first and foremost in our life? We stand up and we say, "You know what, confirmants? It's not a graduation. Come here, please." But then we don't. Shame on us. There is nothing more important, more effectual in our lives than the finished work of Jesus Christ. That we may live this testimony each and every day. Not that we got to be some holy roller and more perfect than thou. But that we can come to Jesus Christ in our inconsistencies. That we can come to Jesus Christ in our weakness, and that his strength would be known. Can we boldly come before these children and before these young adults and say, "This is what our life is. First and foremost, God. Second and foremost, family." Oftentimes, I have a tendency to think we say, or at least I say, I can't make a blanket statement, can I? First and foremost, what I want. Second, maybe my job. And third, maybe my family. And fourth, oh yeah, I'll ask God to give it all to me. First and foremost is your relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because that will endure through the test of time. That'll endure when you start heading towards the graduation of your high school years. That'll endure as you continue to go in college, and that'll carry you through those years. That'll endure as you start finding a mate and a fiance and you get married. That'll endure when you start having children. That'll endure when the rough things come. Maybe having a child, you may lose one. Maybe you may have a wayward one. Maybe you may lose your job in the middle of some great transition in your life. You may lose all kinds of things. But the one thing that'll continue is your relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that will carry you through every storm of life. This is the most important thing. I have not always been a pastor in my life. I have been a bonehead, and I know I continue to be at times. I have gone through the ups and downs of life. But the one thing that I do know in my life, whether I was seeking help in a bottle or in some sort of pill form, the one thing I can tell you in all honesty, none of it helped. But my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He carried me through every one of those trials. And that is first and foremost in your life. And I pray in all honesty that you can receive that for yourself. That this relationship you have with your God doesn't have to be holier than thou. It has to be real. And that you know your Savior loves you in the midst of your sin and in the midst of your victories. That He is the one to sustain you. That's what I pray for you. We like to put a facade on all the time that we've always come out of the womb this pristine. I haven't. And I guarantee you, none of these individuals have. But the one thing that sustains each and every one of us is that forgiveness through the atoning work of Jesus Christ. We're going to do the miracles of Jesus even at the kids' camp this week. And the one miracle that I really want to emphasize and focus on is Peter walking on the water. Yes, I said Peter. See, because oftentimes we have a tendency just to say, well, Jesus is the only one that has ever walked on water. And that statement is not true. We understand that Jesus is walking on the water in the middle of a storm, and when Peter sees Him, he says, "Bid that I could come to you." And he says, "Come." And he starts to walk on the water. So Peter did not walk on the water when his focus was on Christ. Brothers and sisters, and I'm talking to you guys and to you, I don't want you to become hyper-religious. I want you to have a faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ. That in and through your struggles and your victories, that you see the prize. And that will carry you through. When we turn around and see what Jesus shares with us, it says very plainly, He came and He speaks to them. He says, actually, all authority is given to Me. That's scary for us. As human beings, that's scary for us. Because boy, I sure would like to hold on to a little authority. I'd like to start deciding who can come and who can't. Who's in and who's out. But it says here, all power is given to Me in heaven and earth. In other words, Jesus Christ has secured it for us. He says, now, seeing that I have all authority, He says, I'm commissioning you, I'm telling you. He says, you go therefore and teach all nations, not being prejudiced. Teach all nations, everywhere, all people. He says, and baptizing them in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In this blessed Trinity. Joining them is what baptism means. Baptismo in Greek. It means to join together. To join these people together in the Godhead. Do you remember the high priestly prayer? Father, I pray that You would be in I and I would be in You and that they would be in us and that we would be one. Why do we forget that? That is your victory in life. When you leave these doors and you enter out into this world to understand by faith, you are joined into the Godhead. You are not God, but that He presides with you and He governs you. And He gives you that still small voice to show you the way. And He gives you His word, which oftentimes us adults have a tendency to ignore. But you have the opportunity to do something different. And if I speak out of place and you guys read the scripture every day, then I'm sorry, I'm wrong. But it doesn't mean that I can't encourage them to. You know, see, because when I gave you the list of duties, you know, in other words, should be God first. And then I turned around and sarcastically said, often it's what I want first, and then my job maybe, and then my wife or my family. See, I kind of get this bonus deal. Even if I do the job second, well, my job is the word, so I kind of get a little bonus out of it. I'm being sarcastic. But oftentimes, the ministry itself is my own fulfillment, where I have to watch it, that it's not for the pride, it's not for the flesh, but rather that it be for the honor and glory of God. And brothers and sisters in Christ, God has called you, and He's seeking for you, and yet He has found you. It's an amazing thing. He says, enter into this world, bringing the people to Christ. He says, baptizing them, joining them in this Godhead. He says, and I want you to do something for me. He says, I want you, he says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. He says, I want you to teach them what I have commanded of you. Do you know what I learned as a child growing up around the Apostolic Lutheran Church? I've learned that because I had a television, I'm going to hell. I've learned because my hair was long, I was going to hell. I learned because, in reality, my mother didn't wear a dress, she was going to hell. And that's foolishness. May we never teach these young adults that kind of garbage. He says, I want you. Now, this is Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus Christ Himself is teaching all of them to observe whatever I have commanded of you. And I want to stop for one moment and I want to ask, what did Jesus command of us? In the Gospel of John, chapter 13, Jesus says this in verse 34. And this is in red letter if you got King James. So it seems to me this is Jesus speaking. And we're going to talk about commands. This is what He commands of you. And He commands of me. In the clarity of the gospel. A new commandment I give unto you. That you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. And He also goes on by saying, and by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you love one another. I've heard people say from the pulpits, I hear too much about love. The scripture itself says God is love. And Jesus turns around and says, do you want a command? This is the commandment that I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you selflessly. Selfishly, however, not selfish is what I'm trying to get to. You get the point, right? In other words, He served us. He gave Himself for us. This is your God. Your God is not a God sitting in heaven waiting for to hit you with a head with a hammer. That's what I was told as a child. Now, you may take me to task at this, and privately you may come and chastise me for this. But it has been said. Do you know I never heard of Jesus Christ as a child? Not from my relatives. I had people whispering in my ear, smash your TV when your dad is gone. That was the advice that I received. And I don't say this to belittle people. I say this because I'm shocked. I'm shocked because the Word of God has so much to offer. And we come up here as confirmation saying, will you uphold this Word of God? And then we have people that turn around and say, well, really, actually, you could be a Christian, but you have a TV. That's foolish. It is founded in the finished work of Jesus Christ and Him alone. And we are proclaimers of this love to the world. This world needs to hear of this love. It needs to hear of this love. Because honestly, that's what it's looking for. And I know each and every one of you is looking to find acceptance and love. I know you are. And as I talk to you in the relationship class at the confirmation camp, you will find that completion in and through Jesus Christ. And then you will have healthy relationships. When you find out your value is not in what the world dictates to you, but your value is found in the atoning work of Jesus Christ in your behalf, then you will find satisfaction. And so will you. each and every one of you. When you understand your value in the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can lay aside the red cars and the hair. We can lay aside the televisions and no televisions. And I know it's a mute issue in this day and age, because definitely, but I think in 1986, Jesus came to earth and said we can have TVs now and everything's okay. I asked my grandfather that once, and he looked at me and I said, well, you know, these same people were condemning me and not one of them ever said sorry. They just got them. And maybe I'm ranting on, but think about what I'm saying. We often have a tendency to teach doctrine of men and replace the Scripture. And I'm saying to you, we ask you to confirm that you would hold up Scripture. Hold up Scripture. And so then, very plainly, he also says, and I believe chapter 15, which I think is very, very interesting, he talks about the love that is shared. And now I'm so rattled, he says this in verse chapter 15. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. He says, no greater love has this than a man can find, than a man lay down his life for his friends. He says, and you are my friends if what? You do what I commanded of you, to love one another. Enter into this world bringing the truth of gospel. Enter into this world in the revelation of Jesus Christ. That yes, yes, we must repent. We must turn. And in all honesty, you know what we need to turn from? Our religious ways. Our understandings. And allow God to be God. And allow Jesus Christ to be glorified. Entering into this world with the heart and the compassion of Christ, that others may see that light and turn to Him. Turn to Him. It's like the prodigal son sitting in the pig pen. He can't figure out what's going wrong in his life, but all he knows is this world had nothing to offer him. But he does remember one that loved him. And he goes back. Be the example in this world of the one that loves. And the people will come. God loves you. Each and every one of you. Man in his infinite wisdom and his flesh may have screwed that up for you. But don't allow that to take seed in your life. Hear the gospel. For God so loved this world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes may have eternal life in Him. May God be glorified each and every day. For Jesus' name's sake. Amen.